hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen.
A lot of products say they're clean, but what does that mean? Ritual has high standards for what clean means, like their essential prenatal multivitamin, which is heavy metal tested, clean label project certified, and GMO-free. It features key mom-to-baby nutrients like folate, choline, and omega-3. Clean isn't clean enough, especially during pregnancy. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here for a special episode to talk about the John Harbaugh extension. Not a big pros and cons thing like I've been promising this offseason, but more of a factual discussion of what's going on with a few extra components thrown in. Joining me is my co-host for the matchup show during the regular season, Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad to be on for the offseason. This is an interesting signing. Definitely something we did see coming with some of the terms that Bisciotti likes to throw out there. So ready to dive into it.
Yeah, basically 100% as I expected the re-signing to go. A three-year extension, exactly the term of his last one, done before his lame duck season. He's entering the last year of his contract in 25. Bisciotti does not like coaches coaching on a lame duck contract, and that makes all kinds of sense. He's extended through 2028 now. It's a polarizing signing. Harbaugh has been an extraordinarily successful coach, and yet the more success he has that does not include Super Bowls, the more people get whiny and complain about it in the Ravens fan base.
Yeah, and I think the rival of that same perception would be the Pittsburgh Steelers, who their fan base has an issue with Tomlin, who's one of the more consistent coaches. But when you look at their 10 years, Tomlin didn't go to one extra Super Bowl and lost. But I feel like Harbaugh has had more success in terms of the playoffs, getting his team not just above 500, but also making them more competitive throughout the postseason. So there's a lot of good things about John Harbaugh. I can see why people kind of are hard on him, but my opinion, I think he's a really good coach. There's no other coach out there that I would want over John Harbaugh right now. And I think that 2028 mark is crucial because that would be his 20th season with the team. And I'm not sure he might want to end it at that point unless we win a championship in between the next 3 years.
2027 will actually be his 20th year. So if he goes 28, it'll be 21 for what it's worth.
Okay.
There are a lot of let's go back to the Tomlin comparison for a moment before we try and lay down exactly where he should be. John Harbaugh's 13-11 career in the playoffs. There's some people are going to say, well, that's not any good. Of course, it's good. It's the seventh most playoff wins of all time. Sure. You know, he's coached in an era that has straddled the Belichick and Reed dominance of the playoffs. And this is a major component. It's the Brady and Mahomes eras and having to compete against that in the AFC. The dominance of the Steelers is something they've been able to deal with, but the dominance of those two quarterbacks and those two coaches has been something the Ravens have had to fight. And it's also something that comes up pretty regularly is that the Ravens they just have to do something different when you point to the NFC and you can find success in turning around a franchise or in using very extreme measures to win a championship, like the Eagles do with a bunch of void years, the Rams do with trading away all the draft picks. Try, doing that in the AFC and see how much of a fucking failure it would be. Because it's a matter of what the competition level is. If the competition level is low, then go ahead, roll the dice and try and win a Super Bowl with your suboptimal strategy and screw your fan base in the future years out of a thing. But it's just in the AFC with the high level, consistent high level performance of the top, but now what are four quarterbacks in the game?
Yeah,
Jalen Hurts is not in that group. You could argue that both certainly both Burrow and Allen are. Yeah,
it's there has to be some shift soon in this conference because the AFC is just way too loaded. If you were to take one AFC team and take them into the NFC, they'd automatically win the NFC.
They have a good chance. I don't know if they'd automatically. They'd have a good chance. Yeah.
I mean, really, the only competition they would have is the Eagles.
Based on last year, yeah, and the Eagles, of course, won the Super Bowl, so it'd be a pretty good argument that the AFC team would not win the Super Bowl. But, I think that the relative, stick to Harbaugh as much as we can here. I think the relativity of what Harbaugh's done is really remarkable. And you know, competing in the same division with Tomlin, he's 13-11 in the playoffs. Tomlin's 8-11 in the playoffs. He did win a Super Bowl, but the playoff success is for the Ravens is much more significant. The Ravens have done it mostly on the road. If he is not number one in road playoff wins, he is very close. I think he has. I'm not sure if it's 10 or 11 road playoff wins, but there's only a few people who are ahead of that in total playoff wins. Like literally 14 other coaches have 11 or more. So I don't think he's trailing anyone. Belichick's got 31 wins, but the vast majority of those have been at home, and some at neutral sites, but very few on the road. Same thing with Andy Reid. They've been playing at home in the AFC Championship game every year, so they really haven't had any road playoff wins other than the one last year against the Ravens in 23, rather.
Yeah, I think the thing I really love about Harbaugh is that we rarely get blown out in road playoff games. We're always up to the task. We're ready to go. Maybe the one game in 2009 against Indianapolis where it was 20-3, that's it. But other than that, Harbaugh gets the guys going. I don't know what he does, but I don't know if it's a speech because it can't be the who's got it better than us that's getting them pumped up. Right. I don't know what he's doing pregame, but.
Right. I think they run an outstanding ship in terms of the schedule for preparing for a game. They really understand what that is. How you can see it is they can play a game any time of day, anywhere, and they can be very successful at it. And a great Monday night record, great. Night game record in general. The Ravens have really gotten the short end of the stick, generally speaking. This was not true in 2024, but it's generally been the case in their entire history. They've gotten the short end of the stick in terms of playing teams that are coming off a bye week or otherwise disadvantaged in terms of rest situations. That's something that the Ravens have still been able to work their way through and play very effectively. So it's one of the things I really like about him in terms of what's happened.
And he's never had a losing season if it wasn't for catastrophic injuries to the team.
Yeah.
In 15, Joe Flacco, Steve Smith, a handful of people went down. And then in 2021, right? Mm-hmm. Lamar goes down. I think you can't operate without your quarterback in any league, in any team on any league. I mean, it's just impossible. So for him to, he's never gone sub 8 wins. He's never had a losing season. I understand the critique, but the results show for John Harbaugh.
Right. They only won, I don't know how many games they won, 5 or 6 in 2015, but yeah, they did go one. But the record is amazing. And it's 6 AFC North championships. It's 12 playoff appearances in 17 seasons. He's only finished third or fourth in division 4 times. I mean, talk about spoiled. One of those third place finishes, I believe, was a playoff year anyway. So it's not like there's been a lot of success. This is maybe a bigger one. Harbaugh's teams have finished with the best points differential four times. They've been number one in the entire NFL. Their worst four seasons, they've only had four such seasons below 13th in point differential. Now, that is just ridiculously good.
Yeah,
and obviously it's a point differential. I don't believe in using it as a tiebreaker or anything for playoff indications, but it's a very strong indicator of how strong the teams are. And with the balanced schedules and the way they're set in the NFL, it's a big deal.
Yeah, especially recently with the success of Lamar Jackson, I think the points have just been pouring, especially ever since his first entry game in 2019 against Miami, 56. I think you set the bar high. So with this new generation that we have under John Harbaugh, we've been piling on the points. So it's really adding to his statistics.
He's now up to a total of 17 coaches who have coached with him either before or after being head coaches in the NFL, which I think is a remarkable number, by the way. And some of them are real success stories. Some of them might be success stories still. Chuck Pagano, I think we'd say, is a success story, not an extreme success story, but he went in and took a Colts playoff team over and did well. Mike McDonald is a success story in waiting. He might work out, he might not, but it certainly looks like that's a possibility. But it's an impressive group of men that have coached with him.
Yeah, I think the only disappointing hire he's had is potentially Mark Trestman as offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I think that might be on the list. Maybe Marty Morningwig, but things did work under him at times. But really, Mark Trestman is the only one. Defensively, everything has really been in-house. John Harbaugh is a very good talent scouter. He can find people, whether it's for defense, offense, and then narrowing it down to position. He can do it all.
Yeah, been very...
From automated assembly lines to smart factories, manufacturing is going digital and fast. If you want to stay relevant, you need the right tech skills. CBT Nuggets helps you get there with practical, easy-to-follow IT training. Build in-demand skills in networking, cybersecurity, and system automation without investing in costly hardware or struggling with complicated setups. Our short, engaging videos and hands-on virtual labs make learning simple and effective. Whether you're a technician on the floor, a manager leading teams, or an engineer optimizing systems, CBT Nuggets fits your schedule and meets you where you are. Train at your own pace, from any device, wherever it works for you. And with new content added regularly, there's always something relevant to learn. Join thousands of professionals who are leveling up their careers with CBT Nuggets. Right now, you can start a 7-day free trial and explore everything we offer, no commitment required. Go to cbtnuggets.com today. Because in modern manufacturing, better tech skills mean better opportunities.
A lot of products say they're clean, but what does that mean? Ritual has high standards for what clean means, like their essential prenatal multivitamin, which is heavy metal tested, clean label project certified, and GMO-free. It features key mom-to-baby nutrients like folate, choline, and omega-3. Clean isn't clean enough, especially during pregnancy. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Be very successful in rebuilding a coaching staff. And hey, that's what's going to happen. If you have success, you're going to lose those people. You're going to lose Vic Fangio. You're going to lose Leslie Frazier. You're going to lose Jackson. You're going to lose Pagano. You're going to lose Rex Ryan. You're going to lose Steve Spagnuolo. You're going to lose... Jim Caldwell. Those guys are going to move on, but the issue is that you have to be able to rebuild that staff, and he's done a remarkable job of doing that. They bring people in. I think one thing I've appreciated about Harbaugh is the creativity of role assignment. So they don't just have a set group of coaches that they want to be fill some specific role. They'll create a new role for the man they want to bring in.
Yep. Just like what they did with Sam Cook on the special teams consultant. So they're able to figure out who can help their talent and get them on the team and make them an impactful person. It's impressive. I think he comes from a family of coaching. His father has a lot of influence on him, so it's impressive to see their family tree. All three Harbaughs have championships, so it's good to have one of those guys coaching our franchise.
It's the seventh best one loss record of all coaches who've coached exclusively since the merger. That's pretty good. That's some high company there he's with. John Madden is number one in that category, and he's seventh in all-time playoff wins behind Belichick, Reed, Landry, Shula, Gibbs, and Knoll. Anybody have a problem with that?
Apparently our fan base has a problem.
Our fan base, and not behind Tomlin. He's not behind a lot of other guys who everybody thinks is better. I don't understand the love for Tomlin at this point in terms of wanting him over Harbaugh. I understand why Mike Tomlin is a good coach, but I don't understand why you'd want him over Harbaugh. And specifically, I found that Harbaugh has done a much better job of adapting to the game during the time he's been in the league than Mike Tomlin has. He's done a much better job of embracing analytics, of becoming much more of a fourth down aggressor as a coach. And I think that's very important. He's still not aggressive enough, but he's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I think the upsetting thing with Tomlin is that if he were to field some of the talent that the Ravens had, I feel like he would be able to get them to a certain point. I think that is the argument, because the Steelers have talent, but they haven't had talent since they went to the AFC Championship game and lost to the Patriots in like 14 or like 15 or something like that, when they had the Triple Bs. Since then, they haven't really had success because they haven't had quarterback in place. They've had receivers, but just no one to really throw it to him consistently. So I can see the argument for Tomlin, but again, on paper, it's just not there for him.
Tomlin has been an organizational driver for the Steelers in a lot of ways, including, I think, a lot of what's been done in the draft directionally. And he's tried to build a championship defense, where, you know, building by the early Ravens model, which you know, it's usually the fallback position, if anything. You don't want it to be your first choice, but you do it when that's the side of the ball you can draft good players on. I think there's probably been some things about Tomlin wanting to shore up a defense that was already pretty good, that had been over the top in terms of when he has not had success. So that would be my feeling. But if you're comparing the two, I don't think it's fair or easy to say anybody else could have done it with Lamar Jackson. That's complete crap. Yeah, you know, John Harbaugh rebuilt this offense completely around Lamar Jackson. You know, he got Greg Roman to be the offensive coordinator for a team like this. You know, he got rid of a guy who'd been successful with Jackson for a season, in Marty Morningweg, and gave the job to Roman. And then they went all in on Lamar Jackson, and they made it work for a lot of success over these last 7 years. I don't think if you had Mike Tomlin that it would necessarily be as good. And it would start with Tomlin's cowardice on fourth down has been legendary.
Yeah, it's been really bad. Well, let me pose this question to you. There is a time where there needs to be a new voice in the locker room. Do you think the Ravens already have their eyes set on John Harbaugh's replacement, whether it be in-house already or a coach from external?
Okay, not sure I agree with the premise, for starters, but let's say, do the Ravens already have their an idea of who it could be? I think they have succession planning at all times. Mm-hmm. I think they have, and this is, any good corporation will do this. They'll sit down, their senior staff will sit down, they'll grade out their management level people and their star professional people, and they'll plot a career track for them so that the other senior managers know that. Okay. And they understand who's replacing who within my organization, who's moving one up, one up, one up, kind of thing. And that's really the it's something that occurs any corporation. I think the Ravens are doing that right now. I think they're saying, look, what happens if John gets run over by a bus tomorrow? Who steps in? I think they have the answer to that question, and it's not necessarily an in-house person.
Okay.
So, you know, they could do that. I don't think it's Monken. I don't think it's a war now. I actually think they'd probably go to the street if they did it. They'd look for the opportunity to build a dynasty coach and find the best young coach that they could, best appropriately aged coach, somebody who could be with the team for 15 years if they wanted to.
My gut instinct tells me they're going to try and get Anthony Weaver.
That would be a good one. Yeah, that'd be a good one. Yeah.
I mean, he's a historic guy with the team, played with the team, and he's almost like Dan Campbell. So yeah, I think that would be working out very well. And Lamar Jackson and the team can definitely get behind him, just like they did in Harbaugh.
Yeah, that's a great choice. And I hadn't thought of that, but for a guy not on the team, that'd be wonderful. They'd be giving Miami a couple of third round picks, which would kind of suck out of the deal, but that's the way it goes.
That's fine.
I mean, yeah, you get the best available guy. Mm-hmm. He'd be outstanding. He'd be a great choice. And there may be somebody else too. And if the other guy is a, you know, a 40-year-old guy or even a 35-year-old guy that they can really get behind, the organization wants something that would, the primary concern at this instant in time is that the guy gets along with Lamar Jackson very well.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about the future of the team, that could be different. Yeah. So if it happens 5 years from now, that may not be the most important thing anymore.
John was 43 when he came to the Ravens.
I have it right here. He was 46 in his first year as a coach.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So he had a long journey, couple of long stints, one at Cincinnati as a special teams coach and one with Philadelphia as a special teams coach. And each of them lasted nearly a decade.
Yeah, so, he's had long tenures across the board.
Yeah, and before then he moved around a little bit, but those were two very long stretches. It's a little unusual for someone like him to get a coaching opportunity that late. Usually, you know, the guys who tend to get promoted more and tend to be more of the hot coordinators who people want to hire as head coaches tend to move around every 2 years, 1 or 2 years, in fact, early in their careers, and they advance very quickly to get their first opportunity. Then they make good on that, and then all of a sudden they're a head coaching candidate. I'm obviously kind of bothered with the complaints about Harbaugh that continue to kind of fester within our fan base. I think if you're looking for a reason why it's appropriate to think about when John Harbaugh is leaving, it's his age. Yes. That's a reasonable thing, but it's not that the voice is getting old. Whatever he's saying behind closed doors and whatever he says to the press, it's working on the field. Okay. The media has a, I don't know if the media really has a problem with this, but the fans have a problem with John Harbaugh not being honest about injuries, for example. And I'm like, I want him to tell us even less.
Yeah.
And, you know, just our only comment is no comment. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. And just don't even acknowledge it and go to the next, on to Cincinnati. That's what you're telling him.
Yeah. All right. All right. Frazier, great to talk football with you again. Tell folks where they can follow you online.
You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_Rave8.
All right. And other folks out there, biggest thing I can plug right now is make sure you join us on draft day 1, 2, and 3. We'll have continuous coverage all the way through the draft. And one of the most entertaining Ravens-centric methods to watch the draft, very knowledgeable analysts on the panel. Also, you get to interact directly, ask questions, and we kind of work on a spreadsheet together of who are the next picks. And my list of best players by position is a part of that. But you get to suggest who you think is the right player as well. We'll kind of color code that and move along. If you were there last year and you saw it, it's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the method. Now I'm addicted to it. And I hope more folks are going to join us and enjoy that this year. Frazier, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.